Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the underpaid head.
Well, hang on now. I'm not getting paid more.
We can both be underpaid at the same time.
That's true, but you kind of like, you took it all on yourself, and that's, well, that's not
you
fair.
You had equal
that's
opportunity fair, to say that you were also underpaid.
That's not how I say my intro. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games. We discuss our favorite hobbies, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What's up today?
Well, today is another tips and tricks episode about teaching a new system. If you were going to teach something, how to teach it to your players. I believe last episode was about teaching role-playing games to a new player.
Yes.
And this is about teaching a new system to your player.
Yeah.
Which could also be new to the
There's going to be some
hobby.
Overlap. We'll talk about that.
So, but
you got a new game system. You got a players. You got to teach them how to do it so that you can play it.
Right. So we're going to talk about, you know, your need to know the system yourself because you can't teach what you don't know. Otherwise, it's just learning together.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about, like, what's familiar and what's unique. Guided character creation, the introductory session, and, you know, taking what we talked about last time with new players and talking about, like, you know, new system, new players.
Yeah. Because it adds a wrinkle. If you're, obviously, you know, if you're teaching a new player stuff, and we talked about this last episode, there's things you have to go over. You have to layer that into all these other terrific tips and tricks that we're about to spit for a new system.
All right. Well, our first tip is you need to know it.
Yeah. Learn it, idiot.
So if you're bringing the new system in, right, you need to have the best understanding about it because you're going to probably be fielding some questions, right? So, like, not just, oh, how do you make a character? You also need to know the core rules. Like, how do the scenes get set up? How do roles get resolved? When do you roll?
Yeah. So, you know, we recommend, and we've talked about this before, you know, especially with, like, the big fantasy RPGs. We don't think there's a ton of value in reading those rule books cover to cover. Right? But if you're bringing a new system, and in this situation, it's probably a smaller indie system. There's probably a lot less to read than, you know, D&D 5e. But you got to read the core rules. You got to understand them, right? And you got to know character creation, we think. Core rules and character creation. And in the core rules, there's probably going to be stuff about, you know, combat, encounters, that sort of thing. Maybe, if it's big enough and anyone else has gotten a hold of it, maybe watch a YouTube about it. Have someone else kind of lay it out for you first. Because you're going to be laying it out for everybody else. So, you know, give yourself every advantage. If there's, a little walkthrough or sample thing and you got the time, watch an hour of someone else play it. Or at least watch them, you know, page through the book and give it an overview. That can really help you. And maybe create a character so that you know how that part works.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to say about the watching the YouTube yourself is, like, sure, why don't you just send this to your group and then all meet for, you know, session zero. Well, because the YouTuber doesn't know your specific group. So watching that yourself, you can be like, oh, this is going to be, like, a problem for my players, so I'm really going to need to hit this aspect really hard. Because, like, I just know that, you know, my player Greg, will just, like, will
Get
not
fucked,
understand
Greg.
How to do magic in this system.
Yeah.
And I know Greg's going to want to be a magic. So
you
get this idea for, like,
one, if you do that, if you assign, like, a half hour of homework to your players, they're probably not going to do it.
Yeah, obviously.
And like, hey, watch this YouTube video. Here's the link. Eh. Better to do all this in person with your players, if that can be managed. Because, yeah, it probably just won't. And, yeah, you got to be, like, the distilling apparatus that takes, you know, that more raw information.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pick and choose what is for you. Some of it is just for the game master, probably. If we're talking about someone online reviewing a game system, a lot of what they're going to be talking about is towards the game master.
Yeah, definitely.
So then you take that and then you read through it and then you know better what it is to bring to your players.
Because also maybe there's something in this new system that you don't really want to engage with as a game master. So you don't have to worry about your players knowing that because you're just like, we're not going to do this.
You're like, the spaceship mechanics of this game, they seem a little janky. Okay. For this first session or, you know, first adventure, I'm just not going to have them. They're not going to have the opportunity to drive their own spaceship. I'm going to keep them on a planet the whole time or whatever. And, yeah, better to get out ahead of that at first than, you know, you not know that going in and then you stumble over it.
Yeah.
In the process of trying to teach other people.
And then, yeah, as Cosmo mentioned earlier, creating a character yourself. So, like, getting to practice, one, creating a character, but also you can, like, practice scenarios or, like, a test session.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, like, a practice encounter, just because, I mean, we find it, that's, like, one of the best ways to learn a new rule of a game is to try it out.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's one thing to read it on a piece of paper, but then, like, you know, oh, the pieces or, you know, the dice and like, okay, I'm trying to roll for this. What do I need to know?
Yeah. And this is different than like the session zero stuff. We'll talk about that later. Stuff you actually do with your players. This could be as simple as, you know, you roll up a character in the game and then with your character sheet and the book in the other hand, you like, okay, here's an enemy. Practice the rolls and then, you know, track that little fight through to completion or whatever. Now you understand the, you know, the core mechanics in a way that you can easily communicate to your players because you've done them.
Yeah, and it's probably the rule book or whatever is probably going to have some examples itself, but like this would be like using that example scenario that it says, but like, you know, come up with a couple stats for your character and, like, then roll it out following the, like, given example. Because I just, you know, reading an example, it probably doesn't tell you exactly where to find, I don't know, Joseph Hedman's, you know, dexterity stat for this, you know, sword roll. It just says, oh, his bonus is +5, and he rolls a 5.
Right.
Total of 10.
Yeah, I remember there's a little, like, half-page narration of what sample play looks like in the Five Torches Deep book, which I don't know if we've ever talked about that system.
It's definitely come up. Definitely came up in the interview episode.
Anyway, it's just easy D&D. But there's a little page of, like, in prose written out what a round of play looks like at the table. And while that idea, I think, is it's on the right track, it doesn't actually tell you, you know, where to look on the character sheet for these things. It just, you know, it says, you know, the barbarian makes an attack roll and in parentheses, you know, d20 result this plus this. And it doesn't show you where to get that off the character sheet or how to get that onto your character sheet in the first place. You got to go through character creation to understand fully where all those numbers are coming from. So just in general, good advice for a game master. You should do the character creation. You should page through that yourself. because you're going to ask your players to do that. And that's kind of the main thing that you are going to ask your players to do, mm-hmm. and that they have to engage with if they want to play the game.
Yeah, exactly. So you've read the core rules. You know how to make a character. You've maybe watched a YouTube, but you got it. You're ready to pitch it to your player base, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how is the best way to go about doing that? Well, you think great way to start, or at least something you should hit, is identify what is familiar about this system, because chances are there's going to be some overlap between whatever system you have been playing, or you know, whatever systems you have been playing, and this new one.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to expedite the learning process, is be like, all right, you know, if maybe you were playing D&D, right? New system, they have attributes. They're a little bit different, but they work very similar, right? So like, this attribute, this speed attribute, is kind of like dexterity in D&D. It works the same way. You use it in the same way.
Right.
Something like that.
And maybe in this one, you know, you don't roll a D20 plus bonus or, you know, add modifier. It's a D100 roll under your stat.
Yeah.
Something, you know, so just identify those basics. How are they familiar? How are they different?
Right. Because at the end of the day, there's going to be some dice,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be rolling them. So, like, which dice to roll when, that's probably going to vary from system to system.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's something you want to hit.
That's definitely something you want your player characters to know. If they're sitting there, you know, with a character sheet and they're still not sure of that, then, yeah, you haven't explained it very well up until that point. They should know what dice to reach for and what number off their character sheet is important.
And now, obviously, like, you can help them out as game master. You don't have to, like, explain it once and then be like, all right, we're playing. Don't ask me any more questions.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, they can ask you questions like, wait.
That would be an insane thing to do as a game master. And I wouldn't blame players for not wanting to play with you anymore if that was your approach. Obviously, questions are going to come up, and you know you should take the time to address them, especially at first. But you start with this stuff.
Yeah. Combat and damage is another one we think is important. I mean, especially for our players, because they always be getting in fights. So knowing how combat's going to work helps me make a character in a new system, because I can think about how my character approaches combat.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, there's some general archetypes that you can follow. It's like, oh, are they like, you know, the fighter who always, you know, takes the lead and gets up close, or are they more kind of like a sniper, you know, DPS, or like maybe they're the healer, you know, the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So knowing those ahead of time helps you make a character you actually want to play, because one of the, at least for me, one of the big kind of things I worry about when making a new character in a new system is like, what if I hate the character I make and like I can't do any of the, they're not good at the things I want to be good at.
Yeah.
And then like, am I going to be stuck with this character for the entire session? Because like, you know, you can always just make a new character after the first session. Again, talk about that later. But combat and damage really helps me knowing how my character is going to get, how they're going to survive a fight and do what they need to do.
Yeah. Anything that is novel about this game, you definitely want to front load that when you're going over this with your new players. If they have never played anything with a like stress or sanity mechanic, but that features heavily, you want to tell them that right away. Be like, this is how you get more stress, and this is what it happens, you know, when it gets bad. If there's, you know, any sort of extra, the drama cards in Torg, that's a pretty big feature of how encounters are run in that game. And it's not only something that comes from the game masters, it's something that the players have access to, that they can play into the encounter at their, you know, at the appointed times. So they need to understand that that is a mechanic in the game, and when it is okay for them to engage with it. If there's, you know, specific ways to track ammo or resources or, you know, whatever. If there's anything in here that is definitely different from whatever you were playing before, and more than just like, oh, it's a, you know, it's another kind of attribute or whatever, and you roll a d20 on it, like.
And these are probably going to be the biggest differences, these like novel mechanics and I would say novel resources too.
Yeah.
Harkening back to our talk about resources and like not just, oh, how many arrows do I have, but your sanity as a resource, your health as a resource.
The meta currencies of, you know, like inspiration or possibility points in Torg. Things that the players are going to have to keep track of because they are part of their character's kit, essentially, I guess. They need to understand that, and they need to understand, like, how they can, you know, use it. Again, like, the glitches in Cyberpunk, it is appropriate to remind your players that they have them. And they're like, oh, hang on, I forgot. Okay, I've got two glitches. What can I do with them? Don't be a dick. Read that part of the...
Yeah.
Read that little part of the rules again. Because, you know, it's just a paragraph. It explains it.
Yeah.
They might have forgotten.
And those, yeah, those are the ones that are going to be the hardest to remember about, right? Because, like, oh, my attributes... They're slightly different, but you know, attributes kind of just all run together at some point.
They really do.
In role-playing games, or at least all the ones we've experienced, there's usually around, like, 3 to 7.
Yeah.
And they don't change very much. Mm. The name of them might change, but, like...
But, you know, agility and dexterity are basically the same thing.
What they describe is very similar from game to game. But, like, you know, yeah, a sanity mechanic versus glitches, possibility points... All the, like, weird little unique things.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go over that after you go over the basics of just, like, when they roll which dice. Go over what's weird, what's different, what's new about this.
We also think it's very important to hit the tone and vibes of the new system.
Yeah.
Because those can also vary quite a bit from system to system.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can have whimsical stuff versus, you know, grim and dark. And those don't really... The mechanics matter a lot less for tone. You can have a whimsical with all these weird mechanics, too.
Yeah.
Just the way, you know, you can have, like, a really grim and gritty. But, like, what the game is trying to go for, I think, is important as a player to understand.
If it has a, you know, if it has a native setting to it, if it has a default setting, you want to know the difference between, you know, like Faerun and D&D, where the expectation is that, you know, you start small with little dungeons and adventures, and you're going to get more powerful, and you're going to get cool items, and eventually you're going to become this fantasy superhero who's, you know, able to fight big monsters and challenge gods, and versus, you know, something like Mothership, where it's about a crew of space dipshits who are being taken advantage of by their employer and are expected to die.
Yeah, who are expendable. I definitely, as a player, would make very different characters.
Yes, yeah, I think that's what's at the core of this. Why you want to go over the tone and the vibes of one game versus another is, yeah, I would make a different character for those two adventures, knowing that from the beginning. And if I didn't know that in the beginning, I might make the wrong kind of character.
Yeah.
And go into it with the wrong kind of attitude.
Right. So, you know, share all this with your players. Their heads, you know, tend to be sieves. So there's definitely going to be some reiteration along the line, but, you know, this is a good base, right? Share those things with your character or your players. Get them on a good base to start making a character, which is the next thing.
Before we move on to that...
Oh, you got one?
Well, not really. You said that you know, the players' minds are like a sieve.
Yeah.
And I was like, the players' minds are like a pasta strainer. And you gotta make sure that what you're giving them is the pasta. not the pasta
not the water.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't know.
I like it.
Right. Because, yeah, some shit, one, they're not going to retain, but also isn't important.
Right, like lore dumps.
Yeah, don't
That's
bother.
Not tone and vibes.
No.
Right? That's something different. That's the pasta water right there.
Yeah.
All right, character creation?
Yeah, let's talk about character creation. So,
you got a new system.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. How do you get your players into it? Well, you go over all those things we just talked about. But possibly even before you do all that, throw a little prompt.
Yeah.
We'd love to talk about prompts.
Giving them a clear prompt that says, you know, hey, this is the game system we're going to be playing in. This shouldn't be a homework assignment.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like, you know, you go figure out, go learn this system real quick before we meet on Saturday. Mm-hmm. This is just, we are playing in this system,
mm-hmm.
and these are some of the key things about it. You can communicate something about like the tone and vibes here.
And this all the prompt doesn't have to come before the things we just talked about. It could be concurrently, it could be after.
Right.
But a prompt
as part of guiding your players through character creation, giving them a prompt we think is pretty key. It has never not yielded us better results than we would have had if we didn't use a prompt. It's kind of a messy sentence.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay.
Reload.
Okay.
Jam.
Giving our players a prompt has never made things worse.
There you go.
It might not have made
things better.
We wouldn't know that, but we usually do a prompt all the time.
It's never... Yeah, made it worse.
And in that, we give a little bit of like, hey, you guys are these kind of people about to do this, think about why you're here type of thing. And at the front end of it, you know, tell them the system you're running and tell them that, like, the world is this. You know, you are space guys in this situation. You are fantasy guys in this situation. And the world is this. Couple sentences, not a lore dump, not a, you know, a link to
a
source book or a YouTube or anything like that. That's a big ask. But just, yeah, tell them who they are, what kind of world they're in, and we're going to go from there.
Mm. And so these prompts are a way to kind of sync up the drift, right?
Yeah.
Calling back to our episode about drifting.
Yep.
Not in a car, not off to sleep, not I can't get a third one.
Drifting your connected brains to pilot the big robot that is a role-playing session.
And so, like, yeah, tone and vibes in your prompts really help that come through, gives your players something to, you know, tells them what you are expecting as a game master,
mm-hmm.
and it tells them what to expect from you as a game master.
Yes.
And then, you know, a guided character creation, right? You went through all the rules and, like, this is how you make a character. Let's do it together.
Yeah. If, you know, if the game system in question prompts you through the steps, especially with like a series of tables that you might roll on. Cyborg is a great example of this. This is, you know, almost like storybook circle time. Like you as the game master can be there with the book and everyone can have their blank sheets and you can, you know, go through it step by step and everyone can create their characters together, ask questions, and then, you know, nobody gets ahead, nobody gets behind, nobody gets left behind or, you know, left in the dark about anything as you go through it all together. And, you know, you guide them. One, that's going to help manage your time a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to make sure that everyone hits all the steps, doesn't miss anything, doesn't get started to play, and then, like, it's the first encounter, like, oh, wait, hang on. Where's my hit points? Where do those come from? And then you got to go back and be like, okay, so these stats generate your hit points in such and such a way. You know.
Yeah.
Guide them through the steps.
The typical, like, session zero, if you're unfamiliar with that term from when we said it earlier, which is just a general good idea for any new campaign or adventure, because you just get all on the same page. And, like, is it 100% necessary? No, it's recommended.
Well, I think also it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, fun.
It is. It's not quite the same as playing, actually playing,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, character creation can be very fun, but arguably the more fun part is actually playing the game,
mm-hmm.
using your character to do stuff. But you can't do that until you have a character. So, you know, I think it is also, in addition to being a somewhat necessary, or at least, you know, well-advised step, it is a fun step. This is where you get, you know, everyone together on the same page, and you can also, you know, brainstorm and bounce ideas off in this character creation phase. We talked about, you know, not giving your players homework before this phase. It's unlikely you're going to have players who are going to come to the table ahead of time who are like, hey, our two characters, they're going to be brothers, and we've already thought about this. And, you know, some of this role-playing stuff we are already on top of. We're excited to get into it. But if you do this session zero, some of that stuff might come up organically during this guided character creation.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say is I think I personally, not just for a new system, I would recommend Session Zero's blanket statement.
Yeah.
Because you get that. Because, I mean, it's not necessarily bad the way it happens when your players make characters in a system that they're already familiar with, and they just do it on their own. You get these, like, wildly different kind of characters, and then, you know, you can run into that problem of, like, well, why are we in a group together then?
Yeah.
If, like, we are morally opposed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you just get started on the wrong foot. But, like, you know, coming up with that in a session zero, like, oh, maybe we're on opposite sides of, like, you know, the moral spectrum here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to reconcile that now. And right. So, you know, it doesn't come up 30 minutes into the gameplay and be like, well, I shoot him in the back of the head.
Yeah. You might hammer that out and be like, okay, well, I'm going to change this about my character then, mm-hmm. so it puts us more on the same page. Or you come up with a narrative reason why, despite our differences, we are working together.
Yeah. So something we talked about in our previous episode about teaching new players.
Yeah.
Like giving them pre-made characters.
Mm-hmm.
Is also something you could do when you teach a new system.
When you're starting a new game system, definitely an option. I think it's better advice for one new player who's a complete noob to anything. A pre-made character can just, you know, allow them to jump right in,
mm-hmm.
and get their feet wet and see what they like and they don't like. I don't think it's a bad idea for when you're getting started with a new system, but especially if you've got, you know, a group of players who do know how to play and have played role-playing games before, they learn a little bit less.
Yeah. I mean, I would even say that, well, yes, they definitely do that. And then if you're bringing in a new player, completely new to the hobby, and a new system to your experienced players, this is also a great time to get that newbie to make their own character too, because your right. other players who are experienced, they got to go through the same process.
Right. So nobody is, you know, nobody's starting with a leg up on this complete newbie in this mm-hmm. situation, because everyone is starting from zero with these characters and this game system. So pre-made character sheets is a route you can take, but I think if this is something, if it's a system that you want to stick with,
if you have time to go through a session zero too, yeah. right, you know, you might not
that's true. It's an expediency option, I guess. If you're like, oh shit, you know, we've just got a couple hours and not everyone can make it today. Let's rip this one shot thing.
Maybe, and if it's a practice session, maybe, to be like, hey, do we like this system? Well, let's try a one shot.
Yeah. And here's some pre-made characters. We'll just rip it real quick and see how we feel about it. If we want to continue, we then can make real characters.
Right.
But yeah, your players will learn less about the game system and less about, you know, how to make their characters if you don't have them make them.
Yeah.
But you will get to start faster.
So, that brings us to the next tip. Or maybe this is a trick. We'll see.
Yeah.
The introductory
session. We never
know
before we say it.
Yeah. The introductory session.
Yeah.
All right. So, we talked about, like, if you guys are just doing... This is just a tester. This isn't, like, a start of a campaign. Maybe pre-made characters are the way to go. And so, like, if you're not going to stick with it, there's some things that you can do to, like, really test the mechanics. So, like, don't get too attached to, like, the story. And so, like, players can die. And, like, you know, you can figure out balancing in this new or in the test session, right? Because, like, maybe the game, and I think actually it's most likely the game doesn't have a robust balancing system like D&D does.
Yeah.
I just find that less common with, you know, indie stuff.
Yeah. They're made by smaller teams. They're play tested a lot less. Actually, I don't know if that's fucking even true.
The thing you said or the thing I said?
The thing I said about indie stuff maybe being play tested less. Because, like, Matt Colville's doing his crowdfunded original RPG, and they've got hundreds of Kickstarter backers doing beta play tests all the time, and quite frankly, it sounds like their system is going to have a lot more playtest data than, fifth edition D&D had. I don't know how fifth edition D&D went about playtesting. I don't know if anyone in the public ever had access to it. That's, you know, probably a few web searches away, but it didn't really seem like it. It was probably all internal in the design studio, which is why there is, you know, so many things, but also so many, like, exploits and game-breaking combinations of stuff that don't have specific rules attached to them.
Anywho's,
that was a distraction.
So, probably doesn't have as robust of a balancing system. So, you don't need to worry about, like, oh, like, these are new level 1 characters. I hope I don't kill them.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot less of a worry in a practice session.
Right. Kill them. Go ahead.
Here's a big monster. Okay. So this type of monster is really mean.
Yeah.
So, like, don't throw this at them.
This kills a party if they don't have any special gear to deal with it or whatever. Okay. This is an acceptable time to figure something like that out. Also, you know, that's an exaggerated situation. As a game master with any kind of literacy for the hobby, you'd probably be able to predict that ahead of time.
Or at least well enough that, like, it's not such a big deal. Also, so, you know, first session or test session, I think this one applies for both.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and warm that board up, you know, get something on it. A good mix of play in your introductory session or maybe your practice session.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, testing those mechanics again.
Right.
But, like, a variety.
Yeah. There should be a fight in there, probably. There should be a chance to explore, maybe do some free role play. Some people poo-poo the idea of, like, you start in a tavern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it doesn't have to be a tavern. It could be a market. But, like, an opportunity for everyone to, like, walk in and introduce themselves and, like, what do you do without any roles or, like, baggage attached to that? Just, like, what does your character do? And now you're swimming in the role play space a little bit. Some social encounters with some roles attached to them.
Right, which can be, you go up to the bartender, and the bartender's like, we don't serve your kind here.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh.
How are you going to get around that? I mean, you could start a fight, but
yeah,
you know, mitigate that possibility maybe. And then if there's any sort of, you know, currency or resource management, have them touch on that at some point.
Yeah. They keep it simple, though, right? You know, you don't need to have everything mapped out and be like, oh, here's the economy of the market. You know, you don't need all that, but no, just like, no. You know, have them buy something, yeah. See what's available to buy, or, right. You know.
Or, you know, like, after a combat, hey, roll.
Loot.
Yeah.
You know.
Roll on this loot table, or roll to see how much ammo you have left, that type of thing. If those are systems in the game, touch on them.
Try them out. And then, you know, if you don't like it, if it didn't go well, reevaluate. Maybe it's a problem with the mechanics from the rule book. Maybe it's the way you interpreted those. But you know, kind of, yeah, problem solve, troubleshoot.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing to do at the end. It can also be done real time, you know, at runtime.
Yeah.
But definitely do a little bit of it at the ends, right? Yeah. The old debrief, tap the sign.
Mm-hmm. We talk about it a lot. It's over now. You know, you ripped your session. Everyone's had a good time, hopefully. And, you know, we're packing up for the day. What did we like? What did we not like? If we continued, what would we like to see more of? What would you change? This kind of circles back to this first session may not be what you stick with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is the start of a campaign, but I'm going to make a new character for the, you know.
Yeah, like I didn't like,
yeah.
I spec'd my character wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't like how they did that.
This guy, you know, Jack, whoever, you can keep Game Master. He can just like fade into the setting as an NPC or whatever. I'm going to make a new character for the campaign that we begin next session. But I did like this. I just want to change this about it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, or just like, can I, you know, change this one stat of mine?
Mm.
Or like, I want to, you know, reevaluate the gear of my characters.
Right, the text of your character sheet could be considered impermanent up until this point as well.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I want to change my stats. I like this guy, I want to play him a little different. Let me do that. Allow your players to, you know, tweak at this point.
And then there's also the bigger question of, did we like this system? Do we want to keep playing in it? Because, you know, that answer could be no.
Right.
Be like, oh, well, that was, like, fun, but
I don't know if I'd like to play,
yeah,
you know, a whole adventure,
a
whole
campaign.
Let's not
do a campaign in it.
Maybe something different. You want that information, you know, before you get stuck into one.
Yeah. And, like, if it's a thing where it's like, well, you know, I spent all this money on these books and whatever. Ask, like, why don't you want to keep playing? You know, we can work through this. Okay, so you don't like this whole aspect of the game. Well, like, you know, let's figure out how to maybe ignore it completely,
right,
or tweak it a little bit and, like, homebrew up some fixes and patches.
Yeah. Back to, what was it? Episode 101, make your own system.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you don't have to make your whole, you don't have to make a whole new system from scratch yourself, but, you know, if you're any sort of game master, you're already doing some game design, even if you hadn't thought that was what you're doing, even if that's not how you, you know, qualified your behavior. So, you know, look at it and tweak it if you want. If you like most of it, but you want to change something.
That's what the introductory session is for.
That's where you learn it.
Right. That's why you should do a mix of kind of all that play aspects. Because, like, you know, if the introductory session is just a combat, oh, man, that combat was really great.
Mm-hmm.
And then two sessions later, you have, like, a social-centric session,
right,
and they're like, wow, right, we did not understand this, and like, I do not like how this goes, or
yeah,
like, my character cannot
terrible
do this,
at this, or it just wasn't fun.
Yeah,
we didn't shoot anybody that session. What a buzzkill. That, you know, give it all a try up front and give yourself, yeah, you know, no reason not to give yourself that information if you have the time to give yourself that information. So when you try it, give your players a mix.
Mm-hmm. All right. Couple specifics about new system with new players.
Yeah. So in addition to needing to learn the system, complete newcomers to the hobby, they're going to need additional context beyond, you know, just what is unique or specifically different about this system versus other ones. They're not going to know any of that. So you got to go back to that last episode and start with the foundation of what an actual RPG, mm-hmm. what is even an RPG for this new player.
Yeah. And so you're the game master, right? And this is a new system for you, but you're an experienced game master in another system. And your player, and you're trying to explain it to a new player, or all your players are new players to the hobby. Just because it's a new system for you doesn't mean you have to like hit all the same points. Like when you read the book, you should watch out for like what's different and what's unique about this game and what's the same to what you're used to. But you don't really need to go over that with your players, like we talked about earlier, because what Cosmo was saying is they don't have any reference for that context. And you're like, oh, well, like, you know, this attribute works a lot like strength in D&D.
Right. You could actually be hindering yourself a little bit there if you're, if you're talking to someone brand new and, you're trying to use something that they have no context for as a reference. They need the foundational knowledge.
Right.
More so than they need any information about what makes this game different.
Right. They need more the like, oh, as a game master, I describe the setting and the scene, then you take your turn describing your action, and then there could be a role for it. And like, here's some times where I would call for a role.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that and your character sheet, I describe what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of their level that they need, right? Once you get that through, you can like circle back to like, okay, so this is a very specific mechanic to this game that I'm unfamiliar with, but here's how I think it works.
Right. You use this dice and this number, and that tells me this, whatever. But you got to start with that
foundation.
Basic fundamental foundation of like what even is a role-playing game. They don't have the context for how it's different from anything else. You need to start from zero.
Yeah. And, you know, and then most of the other stuff we talked about is the same, like, you know, tone and vibes.
Yep.
Given for a new player, experienced player, same.
Guided character creation. You know, again, you could give them pre-made character sheets, but, you know, they're new. Everyone's new. Everyone's new to this new system. You gain a lot more by doing a guided step-by-step character creation where everyone gets to come up with the cool thing that they want to play as.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we just kind of verged into recap.
Yeah, we did a little bit. Let's do the recap.
Is there anything more on new system, new players, specifics? I got nothing.
No, I got nothing else on.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say, I guess, before we recap, some of these ideas we have done episodes about before, like doing a prompt. Pretty sure we have a whole episode about how to give your players the good prompt.
True.
So that everyone comes correct to the session with their heads in the right place, ready to sink their drifts and play the same game with correct characters for that game. So if there was a thing that you heard in here and it sounds like we didn't really go over it as in-depth as maybe you wanted, decent chance there's another episode where we did. So keep that in mind.
Find it yourself, you idiot. I mean,
recap this bitch.
Yes. So tips and tricks about teaching a new system. Biggest one is if you're going to teach it, you need to know it.
Yep.
That's pretty simple, but also some people forget.
Takes a little bit of work.
Yeah. When you are explaining it, identify what is familiar and unique. You know, bring in shared context and be like, oh, this is very similar to how we've done it in the past. It just expedites the whole learning process. You don't need to start from the beginning and be like, oh, well, like, when you want to do something, you got to roll. They already know that.
Uh-huh.
They just need to know, you know, which dice and when, right? Once you kind of explain the basics, right, and, like, kind of highlight the differences in novel mechanics, the character creation bit, good idea to go through it, guided character creation, make sure everybody's on the same page and, like, nobody's left behind, and, like, you know, have yourself a session zero.
Yeah.
You could use pre-made characters if you, like, you know, just want to test it out, and, you know, you don't want to waste, you know, 3 hours making characters together. You want to 3 hours playing and testing, right? Pre-made characters are an idea. And then, yeah, have an introductory session, have a practice session. Be like, hey, this is just to test it out. None of this is permanent. We don't have to stick with these characters. We don't have to stick with this story. We just want to try it out. Or you can be like, yeah, this is the start, you know, classic start at the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
Your introductory session should have a variety and test the mechanics, right? Combat, exploration, resource management, social interactions, and then debrief it. You know, make sure you guys are on the right track. Make sure you guys understood everything. Then we also talked about kind of some specifics for bringing a new system to brand new players. They don't really have any context to compare it to, so you got to start from the basics. You know, like, what is a role-playing game? Start there, then build out.
Yeah. I think that's about it.
That's about it.
Well,
I will say, Halloween is just right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
I think this episode comes out after we record the Halloween.
Yes, but before we air it.
But be on the lookout for our Halloween episode, like always, released on the 31st, the yep. Hollowest of Eves.
Yep. It's going to be fun. And if you're not already, well, this is a good lead-in. That's going to do it for this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you like our stuff, head on over to 2hgm.com. Where, as always, the first thing you'll see is a splash page ad for Afterlife. Head on over to DriveThruRPG, check that out. It's pretty cool. For the Halloween stuff, there is a link to our Patreon on the website. If you join the Patreon, you get access to our private Discord, and on the Discord, you get to participate in the recording of the Halloween episode, as well as other fun things that we try and do with the community. But coming right up is the recording of the live recording of the Halloween episode on September the 28th.
Well, that's what I was saying, is 2024? This episode comes after the 28th.
Oh, never mind. This whole speech is
well, it's still valid. Nothing, you can catch next year's, which probably won't be on September the 28th, but our Halloween episode 2025 will be recorded and broadcast live before being released.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you're a patron by then.
Patrons get to participate. They get a chance to be the guest stars of the episode, and they also get to heckle and, you know, just be obnoxious in chat during the recording. It's good fun.
There's also some other stuff on our website.
Yeah,
you know,
RPG projects stuff,
and, you know, RPG lights available there for free. It's, you know, it's a whole thing. If you're new to this podcast, just go listen to another episode.
Yeah,
where we talk about it more.
It's a weird place to start, but thank you for being here. Also, thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song "Pond Hill Is Finest" as the intro and outro to our show. And we will see y'all next time.
See you next time.